It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor, is here today. She is the author of Woe Is I and other books about the English language. She blogs at grammarphobia.com. And this hour, we're going to find out some of the stories behind some of Iowa's stranger place names. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Very good. And I have to start off with a pretty funny story. So yesterday, when I sat down to write the promo, the 30-second promo that we do for this show, I was thinking of some really plain Jane, easy-to-explain Iowa place names, and I picked...
And you had a surprise.
Right. I picked Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, and then I was looking at the map just to come up with something else, somewhere else in the state that seemed completely obvious, and I picked Lake City. Now... Of course, I got an email. This is from Art, who said, I heard your promo for tomorrow's show and your mention of Lake City jumped out at me. It was in your list of obvious town names to entice us to hear about the weirder place names in Iowa, but I think you should slide Lake City over into the weird column. I've only been there once at the end of the day of one of the very early rag brides. Lake City was the overnight stop. I asked the church ladies who were serving up loose meat sandwiches, where's the lake? They all laughed and said, there isn't one. And there isn't. It's kind of a community-wide practical joke. In fact, that's the motto. Welcome to Lake City, everything but a lake. So maybe even the obvious ones aren't quite so obvious.
Well, you know, some town names were formed because Iowans had a sense of humor. There, take Winterset. When Winterset was being named, a group of, it was a bitter cold winter. I can't remember. It was 1840s sometime. Bitter cold winter. And the name Somerset was proposed, and someone piped up and said, Somerset? You might as well call it Winterset, because it was so cold. And he just meant it as a joke. But everyone said, hey, Winterset, nice sound. So they adopted Winterset, and it's probably the only Winterset in the country.
Wow. Well, yeah. I did look up Lake City. I have with me a dictionary of Iowa place names published by Tom Savage and Lauren Horton in 2007, and it says about Lake City that it was named for the nearby Lake Creek.
Ah.
So there was.
So they had a creek anyway.
Right. There was a geographic reason for the name.
Yes. And you probably, if you were looking through there, you came across a lot of places named Prairie.
Yes.
I think there, at one time, there were more than 20 Iowa place names with Prairie somewhere in the name. But, you know, when towns were named, this is, Iowa towns were named during a period of incredibly rapid growth from around 1836 to roughly 1860. A lot came later, but... There was a wave of town platting as immigration moved west. It began roughly in the southeast counties in the late 1830s, moved to the central part of the state in the late 1840s, and then in the northwest just before the Civil War. And a lot of times, people were in a hurry to name these places. For instance, as railroads were moving west, they had to have stations at regular intervals. Sometimes there was nothing there but the station. You know, later... A town might grow up there, and usually did, but they had to do it quickly. And one railroad official who was an avid hunter named three of the towns on the, I think it was the Des Moines and Fort Dodge Railroad in northwest Iowa. He named them for birds that he had shot in the area, the plover, the mallard, and the curlew. And I think all those names are still in place. Some aren't, of course, because names were often changed, and I want to talk about that too. Some towns have had three or four names.
So a person working on the railroad may have had to come up with a lot of names. If anybody's ever had to name a lot of, let's say, chickens or newborn gerbils or something like that, you know that the names
get
lamer as time goes on.
Right. A lot of railroad officials gave their own names to towns or invented them.
Well,
as they went along.
And I was going to ask you that, because a lot of towns get named after the person who names them, right?
Yeah, right. He might choose his own name, or perhaps the inhabitants of a town might choose the name of the first guy to get there, or the founder. Or, in some cases, they might pool their names and come up with, say, initials. This has happened for a few towns. They pool their initials and come up with the name. This has happened with Delmar and Lamars. They were formed from initials, and the name Ladora was made up by a music teacher who formed the syllables from the notes of the scale, La, Do, and Re.
Huh.
And Primgar in O'Brien County was named from the initials of the eight men who chiefly developed it. They were named Pumphrey, Roberts, Inman, McCormick, Green, Hayes, Albright, and Rerick. Primgar, all those initials. So that was one way of naming a town.
Well, and that one strikes me as particularly funny because Primgar is a name that trips up broadcasters because you see it,
yes,
and you think, oh, okay, how do I say that?
Uh-huh.
Well, somebody entirely made it up.
Yes. Yes. It's not a real word. You think, oh, it must be some Scandinavian term, but it's not. And another example of a town that originally was named for a founder is there was a town called Brassfield in Wright County from a prominent family named Brassfield. But as the town grew, the townsfolk thought that brass wasn't a very classy metal, so they changed it to Goldfield. Total snobbery. And sometimes there's more than one influence at work, as in the town of Alta, which was named both for the daughter of the president of the railroad and because it happened to lay on the highest point on that particular railroad line between the Mississippi and Missouri rivers. So Alta meaning high, and it was also his daughter's name.
Oh, interesting. A double meaning there. We already have some people on the line, Pat, with their questions about places in Iowa. We can keep going through your list, but let's also take a couple calls. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Tim is on the line in Mason City. Hi, Tim.
Hello. How are you this morning?
Good.
Fine.
What town would you like to talk about?
Well, Shenandoah, why in the southwestern flat plains a town would be named after a valley in the Blue Ridge. At the same time, I would like to again, I called in the last time, Mrs. O'Connor was here. She's just a joy to listen to. And
I said before,
she's so knowledgeable but self-effacing when that's called for.
And I just want to tell you, your check is in the mail.
Tim, thanks a lot for your call. So I've got Shenandoah, like I said.
I've got
a dictionary of Iowa place names here with me.
Go ahead. I think I mentioned that when the last time I was on the air when I talked about place names of Indian origin.
Right. And so it has that, but why is it here in Iowa? It's in Page County. And the explanation here is that, I'll read you the whole thing. Shenandoah was established in 1870 by the Burlington and Missouri River Railroad. It was named for the perceived similarity between the Nishnabotna River Valley, where it's located, and the Shenandoah River Valley in Virginia. Many of the settlers in the area were Civil War veterans who'd fought in Virginia, so that's how they would have that familiarity with that area.
Mm-hmm. And I think originally the name Shenandoah from back east was an Indian term.
Interesting. Well, and a lot of town names come from other places. Like we have a Scranton,
yes,
Iowa, and things like that. So they'll take a town name from back east and move it here. But also names
happened a lot.
Right, names from other countries too.
Oh yes, and countries and cities. For example, I was going to mention this one. The town of Madrid has an interesting story.
And of course, Madrid is spelled exactly like Madrid.
Madrid. And the town of Madrid was originally called something like, I think it was Swede Point. That's the problem with having a huge amount of notes. It was called Swede Point. And of course, settled by Swedes, naturally. And at some point, the other inhabitants thought, you know, Swede Point, not a very melodious sounding term, or maybe the sentiments changed and there weren't so many Swedes in the town anymore. But for whatever reason, a feud began to develop among the remaining Swedes and the other townsfolk, who ended up changing the name to Madrid after the capital of Spain, because they wanted to choose something they thought would annoy the Swedes the most. And so it became Madrid.
Oh, it's interesting. And
Madrid.
And we don't know why they said it wrong.
Right. And there were other changes of names because people thought the names had unpleasant or dignified associations. For instance, a town was originally called Skunk Grove, and it was changed to Rose Grove. And I think I told you once before, maybe not on the air, but the Fort Des Moines was located on the confluence of the Des Moines River and the Raccoon River. And the army people who, you know, built the fort originally wanted to call it Fort Raccoon. But the War Department, in the person of Winfield Scott himself, overruled that because they thought Fort Raccoon was not a dignified name for an army installation. So they called it Fort Des Moines. And here's another
Everyone's
one.
Like, a critic.
Yeah, I like this one. There was a town called Slaunchville in Winnebago County. Now, Slaunchville is named for an obscure word, a dialect word that you can find in the Oxford English Dictionary. And the word is slaunchways or slaunchwise. And it means to go slantingly or obliquely, like, you know, kittywampus or catacorner. And the reason they named it Slaunchville is because it was very swampy and difficult to travel in, and you had to kind of go slaunch ways, or indirectly or edgewise, to make your way through the area. And later on, the town started thinking, you know, this isn't such a dignified, Slaunchville is kind of an ugly word. Let's change it to Lake Mills. So they did, because there were mills in the area.
All right,
so
we're going to take
that's why that was changed.
We'll take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. My guest is our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, my guest is Patricia O'Connor. She's our English language expert. She's the author of Woe Is I and other books about the English language, and she blogs at grammarphobia.com. This hour, we're exploring the stories behind Iowa place names, some of the more unusual place names that we have in the state. You are welcome to join the conversation, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And let's go to the phones. Pat and Paul is on the line in Fairfield. Hi, Paul.
Good morning. I discovered from traveling around Iowa several years ago that there are four towns that prove that Iowa has a sense of humor. Maybe it's my thinking. There are four towns. I think they're in three different counties. And if you put them together in the right order, they are Stanley, Laurel, Ollie, Hardy.
All right.
This is an old comic team, and I'm sure that wasn't intentional.
Of course, it might have been. Maybe the guy on the railroad was a big fan. What do you think, Pat? Oh, I think we've lost Pat. Actually.
Oh, no.
Yep, that's all right. Those are great, Paul. Thank you so much for sharing.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye. 866-780-9100 is the number to call, and we'll get Pat back on the line here in a moment. Talk of Iowa at iowapublicradio.org is our website, and we'll go to Jeff in Des Moines next. Hey, Jeff. Oh. Now I can't take a call because we're calling Pat right at the moment. Here, I'll read an email. This is from Tim. As a Buchanan County native, I've always been intrigued by the names of the Wapsipinicon River and the town of Quasqueton. I've read that the Wapsie was named after two ill-fated lovers from rival Indian tribes who drowned together while trying to escape for a new life. Quaskey was apparently named after a potato that grew in the river there. Any thoughts on that? So we'll take a look. We actually talked about the Wapsipinicon River last time. Pat was on the air, and we talked about place names with Native American origin and words in our language with Native American origin. But I'll look that one up again. Actually, these are only town names, so I can't look that one up. But
Is the one you're looking at?
It was about the Wapsipinicon River and the story that he'd heard behind that. And we talked about that last time you were on the air, I think.
Yeah, it's an Indian name. I don't have the notes about that right now. But, yeah, the nickname is Wapsie. But, yes, that was from an Indian term.
All right, and then he also asked about Quasqueton. If I'm saying that correctly.
That's another one. It's an alteration of an Indian term.
All right. And it says the site was known by its fox name, which, of course, I'm not sure entirely how to pronounce it, but Quasquatuck, which means swift running water.
Right. And in general, when settlers named a word for an Indian name that ended in tuck, that wasn't a normal suffix for town names for English-speaking people. So they changed it to tun. So that accounts for Quasquatun, and it was altered from Quasquatuck.
All right. Here's a question from Nancy in Urbandale, and you've actually already answered this, but she asks if there are any town names named after women. You've already mentioned Alta, which was named after the daughter of the owner of the railroad.
Yes, the town of Sigourney was named after an author, a writer named Lydia Huntley Sigourney. Let's see. There are religious names, Saint Mary, for example, that are, any saint name that is for a woman was, of course, that religious references. I'm trying to think of some other. Bremer County is named for a Swedish novelist, Fredrika Bremer, and a town in the county is called Fredrika. Now, this often happened with names. If a county was named for a person, say, Cass County. It was named after Lewis Cass. Quite often, a town in the county would be given that person's first name, as in Lewis Cass. So there's a town called Lewis in Cass County. And the same happened in Franklin County, which was named for Benjamin Franklin. There's a Benjamin in that county. And, Scott County was named for Winfield Scott. So it has a town called Winfield. So quite often that's the reason some first names arrived as place names.
The Ida County was probably named after Ida Smith, the first settler's child born in the area.
Uh-huh.
And I was also looking up Louisa County because I've been curious about that one, and it has two possible explanations. It could have been named in honor of a young woman who lived in Dubuque, Louisa Massey. Massey shot a man who had killed one of her brothers.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so the other story is that the county was named after Louisa County in Virginia.
Well, here's
a little less exciting.
You might think the town of Paulina is named for a woman, but in fact it's not. It was named for the Paulina brothers, who were early settlers in O'Brien County.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so a lot of things that look one way are really another. I think I mentioned last time that the town of Osage in Mitchell County, it's not from the Osage Indians. It was named for a town benefactor named Orin Sage. He typically signed his name O.Sage. And also the towns of Hardy and Dickens in Iowa are sometimes said to have been named after the English novelists, but in fact they weren't. They were named for local people named Hardy. This was a railroad worker who was killed on the line, and a farming family named Dickinson is responsible for the name Dickens. So you can't always take some of these things for granted. However, the town of Homer was indeed named for the
Greek poet,
yes.
Huh. Interesting.
And generally, well, I think it's kind of obvious that towns like Bonaparte, Gutenberg, those were named after, Napoleon and after the inventor of the printing press. Lafayette, named after the Marquis de Lafayette. Verdi in Washington County was named for the Italian composer. And there are even towns named for old master painters. Rembrandt in Buena Vista County and Rubens, which is now a ghost town.
We have
also Emerson, named after Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Nice. We have a number of callers on the line. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Bill is on the line in Cedar Falls. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Charity. Good to talk to you again.
Yep.
Speaking of towns named for people, I grew up in the only town in the United States named after an Arab, which is El Cader. And also in Clayton County, there's a mystery. If you have the 1860 map of Iowa, you will see a town placed where Edgewood now is, but on the map it was identified as Sodomville, S-O-D-O-M-V-I-L-L-E.
Yeah.
So what happened there?
Well, you're right about El Cader. It was named for a very much admired Algerian emir, Abd El Kader, who was in the news a lot in the 19th century. And Sodomville, it's another one of those cases where it was innocently given a biblical name that later acquired other meanings. Now, it's funny that you should bring that one up, because I moved to where I live now. I now live in Sarasota, Florida, but I moved here from Connecticut, and I lived in Litchfield County, where the map has a town called Sodom, Connecticut. And my husband and I just happened to be up in that area one time, and we thought, let's see if we can find Sodom, which is still on some maps. But when you get there, there's nothing there. The town actually died out completely. There aren't even any foundations left. But, yeah, it was a biblical name.
Or even a pillar of salt.
I don't know if there were any Gomorrahs up there, but there was a Sodom. And sometetes those names became embarrassing and were either changed or...
Or apparently everyone left town.
Yeah.
Bill, thank you so much for your call. Next up, we've got Randy in Iowa County. Hi, Randy.
Hi there. On old Highway 6 between Victor and Brooklyn, it's called Carnesworth. They have an inn that's no longer in business. And the old Bucket Line Railroad ran north and south. It was there when I was a little kid yet. And went up to Belle Plaine. I don't know if it went up to the brick factory to deliver materials up there. Plus, since Watcher had a lot of coal down there, I think coal went up and down the road. Then I was talking to a guy from England a few years ago. And he asked me what was the towns near where I live. And I said, well, Chelsea. He said, well, Chelsea means good lookout point, but if you've ever been in Chelsea, most of it's in the floodplain.
Ah, maybe it was named for Chelsea in the English Chelsea. I don't know.
Could be.
Charity, is it in your
dictionary? It says it was named Chelsea after Chelsea, Massachusetts, but the location had originally been called Creek Station.
Okay.
Chelsea
what
sounds
about
a
little...
Right.
Well, that's not in my book, unfortunately, Randy, so... That one's going to have to remain a mystery. Carnes Forest?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And, I mean, I mentioned earlier a lot of names from back east came here. And, of course, a lot of names back east came from England or somewhere else in the world,
like
too.
Like the town of Oxford, not far from where you are now, was named by a founder for his hometown of Oxford, was it Oxford, New Jersey or Oxford, New York? I'm sorry, can't remember. But that Oxford had been named for Oxford, England.
All right, so Oxford once removed.
Yes.
Actually, and it says the town in New York.
Oh, New York, okay.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. John is on the line in Lost Nation. Hi, John.
Well, hi, Charity. Good morning. And, Patricia, I just want to say that every time I happen to, you know, by chance hear your program, it's just so entertaining. Thank you for being there.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you can put to rest something that's been bothering me for a great number of years, and that is our town is located not far from a town called, that everyone around here calls Maquoketa.
Maquoketa.
And you might have covered this before. But I didn't, you know, I'm sorry if I'm going over old ground, but I always thought it's pronounced Quasqueton, why wouldn't Maquoketa be pronounced Maquoketa?
Well, isn't it pronounced Maquoketa?
No.
It's not?
Nope.
What, how is it pronounced?
Maquoketa.
Maquoketa. I said, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
I don't think we're going to put that one to rest today, John.
I don't know, but you live near Lost Nation or in Lost Nation?
Yes, Lost Nation.
I live in Lost Nation. Yes, we're about 13 miles from, I like to call it Maquoketa. It seems correct to me, but it's probably wrong.
There's a mystery about the origin of Lost Nation. There are 5 or 6 different stories about it. Do you know what, if any one of them is definitive?
No, and I really don't like to, when someone asks me, I don't like to repeat any of them because I don't, you know.
Yeah, nobody knows if any of them are true. But did you also say,
no one knows.
Did I hear you say watcher?
Oh, Randy did.
No,
Randy said watcher.
Randy did.
Watcher, yeah. I think.
I just would add that we're just about the same distance to Delmar.
Delmar. Delmar, but it's Delmar?
Well, we call it Delmar around here, which is also probably mispronounced.
Yeah,
hey, I think we get to make up the way we pronounce it. I think you're right, John.
Who knows?
If we have Madrid and Nevada and Tripola, then we get to be right.
I think Nevada, actually, I believe, was named not for Nevada, the state, but for a Mexican town in Mexico. A lot of there was a lot of admiration among Iowa settlers for the great warriors, cities, generals, and whatnot of the Mexican War, which took place in the late 1840s, which accounts for why we have names like Montezuma, Durango in Mexico, Sonora, named after Sonora, Mexico. And some Iowa place names were named for battle sites in the Mexican War, like Monterrey, Palo Alto, Cerro Gordo, and Buena Vista, pronounced Buena Vista, which is also a county, as well as it used to be several different towns, but I think it's now just one town.
We do seem to like to change. Nevada says that it was named by the county commissioners for the Sierra Nevada.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
But, again, we changed the way it was said, and now we're right.
Yes.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Jim is on the line in Spencer. Speaking of names that are said a little funny, with a little more information about the story behind Madrid. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. I was doing research on that community. Some of the Swedish communities were very successful, and a gentleman from Sweden had been so enamored with that part of the state that he went back and convinced a lot of his townsfolk from back in Sweden to come with him. It's quite a story.
Mm-hmm.
They got here, and he was basically financing pretty much the entire community, and finally got to the point where he was so disgusted with the poor work habits of all of his kin and friends and relatives and everything that he had been impressed with a gentleman from Madrid. And he thought he was the best worker he had. And in order to annoy everybody, before he died, he changed the name of the town to Madrid. And then it got the last laugh, and they pronounced it Madrid.
Maybe they started pronouncing it Madrid out of spite.
Exactly. But, you know, there's some great names. Now, Homer, for example, is gone. But that lawyer that started that town, he was very vain. I mean, he loved Homer. Mm-hmm. He would speak about all of his works and everything. He'd been to college and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
he was responsible for creating a double-sized state, and then he was a drinker. They managed to get him drunk so he didn't notice everybody was double voting, and they split the county back in half. And eventually his town died. He went off to fight in the war and ended up success in Colorado, where he was like the head of a college, even though he was an embarrassment here. He had been responsible for annoying the Dakota Indians by, never taking any action to find the killer of Sonoma Nedota, and he had placed himself as the head of the coronary investigation into that, and so people in Homer eventually were living in a town that was dying.
Well, I wonder if did he name a town in Colorado after Homer?
Well,
or
no, he didn't.
Virgil?
I think he went to Boulder and was very successful. He married another woman after fighting in the Civil War. He joined very late in the cavalry, mm-hmm. and I always felt like he was avoiding, the real action.
Right.
All right. Well, Jim, thanks so much for calling and filling in the blanks, a lot of blanks there. We're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, my guest is our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor. She's the author of Woe Is I and other books about the English language. She blogs at grammarphobia.com. And, of course, she grew up in Iowa and has been researching a bunch of Iowa place names. So we're talking about the origins of place names. I also have some support materials this hour with a dictionary of Iowa place names by Tom Savage. And you're welcome to join the conversation, 866-780-9100. And the I want to mention, we were talking about Iowa place names that are pronounced differently than you would think. So we were talking about Madrid, Nevada. And this is, I almost jumped in on this one, but the moment passed. Sandy mailed in, please correct the pronunciation of the town of Guttenberg. It's not the same as the inventor.
It's Guttenberg. I should remember that. I should have remembered that from my days as a reporter in Waterloo, in our circulation area up there. Guttenberg, yes, but it was named for Gutenberg,
right.
The inventor.
So, and I mentioned Tripola earlier, so I looked that one up. The first Tripola was in Frederica Township, and then that town disappeared. So the new Tripola, established on a new rail line about a mile away from the first town, was named after that first town. But mm-hmm. the original town was named after the site of the Battle of Tripoli.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, again, we don't know why the pronunciation changed.
Right. But there were a lot of literary place names in Iowa. I'm reminded of this because of the last caller who mentioned Homer after the Greek poet. Iowa towns also have a Byron, an Ivanhoe. This is now a ghost town. Very near you in Linn County on a bend in the river. Little Ivanhoe is now gone. Lytton, which was named after the British author Lord Lytton. And at least there was at least one town called Milton that was named for the poet John Milton, as well as a Radcliffe. This was a very popular Victorian novel called The Heir of Radcliffe by Charlotte M. Young, a British novelist, and that's what Radcliffe in Hardin County was named for.
Interesting. You can imagine today if we were naming a bunch of towns, we'd have a Harry Potter.
A Potter.
a Godric's Hollow for sure.
Right.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Jeff is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, Charity. And this is for Priscilla.
Pat.
Pat.
Yep.
Because she is an expert on the English things, but they're very interesting discussion. But I want to just tell you guys about Earlham, which is named after Earlham Hall in England.
Oh.
And originally it was a Quaker community, and it's a very old town. There's it's out there on the way to Omaha that you probably see, and there's also another Earlham in Indiana, but it doesn't have anything to do with England or Earlham Hall. Is like a manor house in England, and basically there's a lot of good things that's about your discussion, the names and how everything is mispronounced and everything. It's just amazing.
Yes.
It's so interesting, your book, Pat. I can't wait to look at it.
Well, yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for your call, Jeff. And there are a lot of questions about little towns. How about Paris Bunch? Is that one you've looked into?
No.
All right, I'll look that one up. But did you look at Watcher or Watcher, however you want to say it?
Yes. Now that was a bustling mining town, and Watcher. Or Watcher to you, or Watcher this day, was an old English greeting as far back as the 1400s. That would be a greeting, as like, how are you? Watcher. So that's how it got its name. But nobody seems to know the direct influence. Was it named just because of that English greeting? Was it named because that was supposedly how the Indians greeted Roger Williams in Providence back east in the 1600s, or was there some other, what was the reason for it? Or did they just think, let's name it after this old English greeting? So nobody seems to know exactly what the process was of naming it. And the same is true of a little town called Coyne, C-O-I-N, in Page County, Coyne, Iowa. Now, there is a story that a coin was unearthed when a foundation was being dug in the new town, but I don't think that's ever been verified. It could mean that it was from a mispronunciation of a foreign word, say a French word or something. I don't know. But like Lost Nation, sometimes there are just going to be mysteries about some of these little town names. Now, some of them are deceptive. I mentioned the religious category that includes saints' names like St. Joseph in Kossuth County, St. Mary, Mills County, St. Paul in Lee County. But St. Anthony was not named for a saint. It was named after two town leaders, Anthony Pierce and J.Q. Saint. They probably chose St. Anthony because they thought it would have a familiar, comforting sound. Now, similarly, Churchville was not a religious, I can't remember what county that's in, but it's not named for a religious reason, but it was named for a founder, John Churchman.
Interesting.
Churchville.
Well, and another, we mentioned Paris Bunch a few minutes ago. I looked that up, and it was founded in 1891 on property owned by Jackson Paris. So Paris Bunch was not named after Paris, France, although there was another Paris, this one in Linn County, that was named for Paris, France, although this is not an incorporated community. And Paris Bunch, it looks like because it's not incorporated, there are some people call it Paris, some people call it Paris Bunch.
Why the bunch? Where did the bunch come from?
that seems to be a mystery.
Why not Berg? Maybe it was Berg originally.
Well, the all I know is I can tell you the Davis County legal plats call the location Paris. The post office is Bunch, and most of the residents either call the town Bunch or Paris Bunch. So,
well, at one time the Irish settlers in Iowa must have been staunch supporters of Irish independence from England, because some of the Irish named towns in Iowa are named for Irish patriots or political figures, like Robert Emmet, who was an Irish patriot who was hanged and drawn and quartered and, terrible things back in England. He is the person that the county, Emmet County, is named for, as well as Emmetsburg. And I think there was also a town of Emmett at one time. But there's a Parnell in Iowa County, another one in Johnson County. Those are named after Charles Stuart Parnell, the great Irish patriot. And let's see, I think there was another. Oh, yes, O'Brien. William Smith O'Brien was the namesake of O'Brien County, as well as two of the towns named O'Brien.
Interesting. Let's try to slip in a couple more calls here. John is on the line in Bettendorf. Hi, John.
Good morning. I grew up in a small town in western Iowa in Harrison County, town of Persia. P-E-R-S-I-A.
Persia. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Persia, just like the old name for Iran.
Right.
Do you have anything on the origin of that?
I don't specifically.
I've got that one, though.
Okay, go.
It says
go
the town. The town was given that name because a peddler who was passing through told the settlers that the area looked like his old home in Persia.
Wow.
So it's just that simple.
Well, there was a Persian peddler in Iowa at one time. Imagine that.
Yeah, there's two other Persians in the United States that I know of, one in Tennessee and one in New York. I don't know if they're incorporated or not.
Uh-huh.
Is there any place I could look up, or what reference could I look up that peddler thing?
Well, the reference I'm using is called A Dictionary of Iowa Place Names by Tom Savage. It was published by University of Iowa Press in 2007, but it's still in print, so it is out there, and it may be at your local library, too. John, thanks a lot for your call.
And, you know, I think there is a Harrison County Historical Society, so they may have some histories of local towns. So you could check it out that way.
All right.
Call the Historical Society.
I bet they know a thing or two about it. All right, Ernie's on the line next in Ottumwa. Hi, Ernie.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
This is very interesting. I married a pretty little girl from Watchier, Iowa, and the origin of that, I was told, was it was Welsh miners came over, and that was a greeting in Wales.
Yep, we.
And so that's where they.
We talked about that, but you had a question about a different town, right?
I did. Chillicothe, Iowa. It's near Ottumwa. I was told it was an Indian name meaning gathering by the river. I don't know for sure, but I tell everybody that all the other Chillicothes, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, Missouri, they were named after us.
Yeah, I think you're wrong about that. Oh, Ernie, thanks a lot for your call. So we've got the town was named by settlers from Ohio for Chillicothe, Ohio, but it is a derivation of the name of one branch of the Shawnee tribe.
There you go.
All right, let's go to Greg in Des Moines next. Hello, Greg.
Hello. I was a member of the Indianola Indians team, so I thought proudly, but what's the name mean?
Oh, Indianola?
Yep, yeah. I just looked that one up, too. It comes from Indianola, Texas, so it was named after another town in Texas. Oh, Greg, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, we've got Robert in Iowa City. Hi, Robert.
Hello. There's a town in Delaware County where my ancestors are buried, and it's haunted. It's called Coffin's Grove.
Oh, my gosh. Coffin's Grove? Was that the real name?
All right. And I'm guessing that must be a pretty small, unincorporated community. Is it?
There's no one there. Hard.
Okay.
They're all
Is it in your book, Charity?
It's not in my book.
Huh. I didn't come across it.
It's named after Judge Coffin from Boston.
Oh.
And he brought out a partner named Baker, and they built a stagecoach house, which is actually the haunted part, because the Baker family are buried at the stagecoach house. So you'll see that as a haunted place. Now, that was actually, although Coffin, you know, is an Irish, is a traditional English Boston name, they're all Irish, and they tried to develop a town there called Mount Nugent, because they were from around Loch Sheelan in County Cavan in Ireland. And the people who are buried there are from around there. And others from Mount Nugent include Tom Brady's family, who will be in the Super Bowl, and Sheridan. But it's Coffin's Grove.
Oh, wow.
And the stagecoach
house. It's not as spooky as it sounds, though, because it's named after someone named Coffin.
That stagecoach house, it was for sale, and I wanted to buy it, and my friend wanted to stay overnight. We thought if they were friendly ghosts, we could ask them to help us remodel it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call and the information.
Right, you know, Coffin is also a name in Massachusetts. I know in Nantucket there are a lot of things named after Jared Coffin, like there's an inn, the Jared Coffin House. So it that name came over probably with the Mayflower or something, or soon after.
Interesting. We had a tweet, this one from Jim. He says, I understand that Sibley was named after General Sibley, first governor of Minnesota. I thought it would be in Minnesota. I checked that story out. That's true, but we must have admired him.
Uh-huh.
And Here's somebody. Greg's asking about the story behind Council Bluffs.
Let's see. I think I didn't research this, but I think I've heard that Indians, the local Indians used up in the Northwest, used to hold council meetings, powwows.
Well, and it's I just looked it up too, and it said that the term Council Bluffs was introduced by Patrick Gass in the journal he kept on the Lewis and Clark expedition, mm-hmm. and he described a meeting between the members of the expedition and two different tribes at a site that he called Council Bluffs. So he coined the term, but it was a meeting place.
Uh-huh. I think I mentioned before that some places got their names because earlier names were thought to be ugly or unsavory.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is there was a town called Marshfield, which was originally named for a founder called E.J. Marsh. But town leaders didn't want people thinking the town was swampy, so they changed it to Wyoming.
Huh.
And another town was called Barkersville, but it was renamed Attica because Mr. Barker, the original founder, ran off with someone else's wife. So he was in bad repute. Other names that were cleanup projects include Richland, Iowa, which had been named earlier Frogtown, and Boone, which formerly was known as Plugtown, and Andrews, Iowa, which was formerly Dogtown. Also Pella, the famous Pella, Iowa, the Dutch town. The Dutch named it from a Hebrew word meaning city of refuge, but earlier on it was known as Straw Town because the first improvised houses the Dutch made were built of straw.
Oh,
that's not very dignified, Straw Town. Pella is much better.
Well, I'm in a little area outside of Iowa City where we've got Frytown and Joe Town, mm-hmm. two very small communities nearby. So I think they're pretty descriptive. We have a question about Haywarden in Iowa, and almost out of time, so I'll answer that one. It doesn't have anything to do with hay.
No.
It was named after the estate of the British Prime Minister William E. Gladstone.
Yes, which was located in Wales, by the way. And there are other towns that have been called Wales in Montgomery County and Worth County. So Wales has got its finger in here, too.
All right. Well, so many influences from all over the world. Patricia O'Connor, thank you for talking with us today.
Well, I appreciate having me. Thank you.
Patricia O'Connor is our English language expert. She is the author of Woe Is I and other books about the English language. She blogs at grammarphobia.com. And I was referring throughout the hour to the book A Dictionary of Iowa Place Names by Tom Savage. Talk of Iowa is produced at Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, Claire Roth, and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. You can get in touch with us anytime. Talk of Iowa at iowapublicradio.org. We're on Twitter at IPR Talk. I'm on there, too, at Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.